Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Alpek's second quarter 2019 earnings conference call. With us this morning, we have from Alpek, Jose Valdez, CEO, Jose Carlos Pons, CFO, and Alejandro Elizondo, IRO, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions you might have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website at www.alpek.com. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Elizondo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning and welcome. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. This call will be divided into two parts. First, Mr. Valdez, our CEO, and Mr. Pons, our CFO, will provide a general overview of Alpek's second quarter 2019 performance and an update on relevant events. Afterwards, we will have a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind everyone that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Pepe Valdez.
Thank you, Alejandro. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Alpek's second quarter results were marked by similar effects to those experienced during the first quarter 2019. Specifically, reference polyester margins grew stronger quarter-on-quarter. Polypropylene margins remain above expectations, and polyethylene prices continued to decline. Crude oil prices increased on average throughout the second quarter. However, paraxylene price, which normally tracks crude oil, declined to its lowest level since September 2017, as a result of new capacity additions in China, which reduced the margins of paraxylene to naphtha. Polyester segment results were favored by both the highest reference margin seen since July 2018, as well as higher volume overall. Results were negatively impacted by the reduction in PX prices, which generated an inventory loss, as well as a feedstock cost carryover effect. Both of these negative effects can be considered temporary distortions to margins. It is important to note that PX prices appear to have stabilized since the start of June. If this trend continues, both inventory losses and feedstock cost carryover effects could not be repeated in second half of 2019. If PX prices were to increase, extraordinary year-to-date losses could be partially offset. The plastics and chemical segment continued posting better than expected results in second quarter 2019, driven mainly by solid polypropylene performance. Polypropylene volume increased during the quarter, and reference polypropylene margins have remained at steady levels since fourth quarter 2018. These results were partially offset by caprolactam performance, as CPL reference margins declined towards the end of the second quarter. Regarding key developments, we continue making progress towards finalizing the sale of our two cogeneration plants. Commissioning work at the Altamira facility is nearing its completion. On the commercial front, we have already contracted out more than 90% of total power. We expect that during the next month, we will finalize the sale to Contour Global. Alpek's results, when adjusting for temporary distortions, are reflective of strong operative performance supported by positive market fundamentals. Given the current global margins for both polyester and plastic and chemicals, as well as the apparent stabilization of PX prices, we maintain our guidance for 2019. Key factors towards meeting our projected financial results continue to be the evolution of paraxylene prices, polyester margins, and to a lesser extent, caprolactam margins. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Jose Carlos.
Thank you, Pepe, and good morning, everyone. Alpek's second quarter consolidated revenue was flat quarter-on-quarter. However, sales were down 7% year on year, given lower average consolidated prices across both business segments versus first quarter 19. Volume was 3% quarter on quarter, was up 3% quarter on quarter and down 3% year on year. Sales in Brazil increased during second quarter 19. And average consolidated prices declined 4% year on year, given the reduction to feedstock costs. Second quarter consolidated EBITDA was $161 million, including a $27 million non-cash inventory loss, a $1 million non-recurring legal fee, as well as negative feedstock cost carryover effect. Adjusting for the inventory loss and legal fee, comparable consolidated EBITDA was $199 million, up 28% versus last quarter, mainly from higher reference polyester margins and down 13% versus second quarter 18, due to the effects of lower feedstock prices and lower margins on a year-on-year basis. Furthermore, if also considering feedstock cost carryover as a temporary distortion to margins, comparable EBITDA would increase to $217 million in second quarter 19 and $384 million to 2019 year-to-date, which means that this comparable EBITDA is 4% higher than equivalent figures in both second quarter 18 and 2018 year-to-date, respectively. With regards to polyester, Alpek benefited from a favorable evolution of reference margins quarter-on-quarter amid a declining feedstock price environment. As such, comparable polyester EBITDA was up 47% versus first quarter 19. Comparable plastic and chemicals EBITDA was also up 6% versus first quarter 19, driven mainly by steady polypropylene margins as well as higher volume. Alpek's second quarter profit related to the controlling interest totaled $56 million. Compared to $27 million last quarter. This is mainly related to higher operating income and lower financial costs. Regarding our balance sheet, net debt was $2.1 billion, down 5% versus last quarter and up 14% versus year-end 2018. Debt decreased by $116 million during the second quarter 19, mainly from positive net working capital cash flow associated to inventory reduction and recovery of fiscal credits in our Brazilian operations. Our net leverage ratio and interest coverage were 2.2 times and 8.1 times, respectively. Alpek reaffirms its plan to pay an extraordinary dividend of $143 million to shareholders once the proceeds from the sale of its cogeneration power plants are received. Alpek also plans to pay down short-term debt obligations, which would bring our net leverage ratio to below 2.0 times. Alpek CapEx was $38 million in second quarter 19. Most of these funds were used in the Altamira Power Cogeneration project, along with the strategic asset replacements and minor capital projects. This concludes my remarks. I would now like to open the call for questions. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place their questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Our first question is from Christian Landy with Scotiabank. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Good morning, Pepe, Jose Carlos, and Alex. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is, I do believe that margins in integrated polyester margins have been above the guidance that you gave beginning of the year of $300 per ton, but still margins haven't been quite there, and in part because of what you mentioned with tax and land prices going down in this past quarter. My question is, how do you see integrated polyester margins in the remaining of the year? And do you still see that that's going to be enough if those margins are all $300 per ton to deliver the full-year EBITDA guidance in which you will need more than $200 million in EBITDA per quarter? And finally, the last question is, what are your expectations for the plastic and chemicals segment in the second half of the year, having seen that in the first half, the margins have been above what have been originally expected. Thank you.
Christian, as I mentioned during my brief presentation, we are estimating that we are going to meet the guidance for the whole year. As you might recall, or you might see in the numbers, that implies that we're expecting EBITDA for the second half of the year of approximately $380 to $390 million, perhaps a little more. So that's pretty much partly as a result of we do expect that polyester margins will remain above the guidance. I would say you mentioned that. I think probably, hopefully above the $300 per ton range. And we also assume that the plastic and chemicals margins are going to remain similar to the first half. So that is part of the reason why we are sustaining or maintaining the guidance in spite of all the negative effects that we had in the first half of the year as a result of the devaluation of inventories and the carry over losses. So yes, we are assuming that these margins are going to remain higher than the guidance. And just to, as a reminder, Christine, I mean, these so for you not to make wrong calculations, the margins in Asia for polyester are very important for us, but not all of our volume. Is directly related to Asian margins in the short term. In the long term, all of our production or sales are related to that. But a lot of our sales now have already margins that are fixed, a lot of them to raw materials in North America. And Tony, probably I guess around 20% of our sales, a little bit more than that are linked to the Asian margins on a short-term basis. So again, I just don't want you guys to overestimate the impact of these higher margins in the short term. Okay? Longer term, of course, they help because when we set prices normally on a yearly basis for the rest of our products, a key consideration for those prices, of course, is the margins in Asia. So if when we are negotiating prices for next year, margins in Asia are strong, that will, of course, help our volume for next year. But for the remaining of the year, perhaps only 20% of our sales are related to these Asian margins.
Our next question is from Nicole Lippmann. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you very much. Good morning, gentlemen, everyone. Congrats on the numbers. I have three questions, two on sustainability and one on the cogen cell, if I may. So first on the whole sustainability, could you help us understand your North American PET volumes in the second quarter 19? It appears that volumes were down in both the first and the second quarter, but we don't have the full data, of course, but if you can provide any color on that, and also on the reasons why you think volumes could have been down in the first half or in the second quarter. So that's question number one. Question number two, could you also update us on your sort of approach to the circular economy and recycling and as importantly, how you're thinking about this in conjunction with the brand owners? And then finally, if you don't mind, just provide a bit of an update on when you think the cogen sale is going to close. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Let me perhaps start with the cogen sale, Nicolás. It looks like we are finally in the last part of the process. We have approved most of the permits that were required for the sale. As we explained in the previous quarters, we had some of the permits that were delayed as a result of the CRE not having enough quorum because they did not have enough commissioners. So most of the critical permits from CRE to go ahead with the process have been already obtained. So that's very good news for us. Number two, we are right now, as we speak, in the, let's say, perhaps most important test for the Altamira plant to interconnect with Senace. And this test is a lot of tests, actually. We have already passed a lot of them, and we are basically in the last part, in the last test. This test is called the reliability test, and it consists we have to produce in the plant at capacity for 10 days out of 15. So and we are, as we speak, as I said, we started this test last Friday, very early morning, and we have, as of this morning, we have already completed 6 of the 10 days. The good news, again, is 6 in the first 6. So we still have a certain room for any problem because we have, let's say, 9 more days to go, and we only need 4 more days to operate the plant at capacity. So if we continue to run the plant successfully, by the end of Sunday midnight, if there is no problems, we should have completed this test, which is also critical. Without that, we cannot interconnect with TV. So once we do that, we're going to be able to start commercial sales from this unit. So again, very critical for the closing of the deal. There are some other situations, you know, that we have to still resolve. I would feel now a bit more optimistic that this time we're close to the closing of the deal. As I mentioned, also we have contracts. I mean, another very important condition is was to be able to have at least 90% of the capacity under contract, under long-term contract. And we have pretty much done that. I would even say that if we wanted, we could close 100% of the capacity at this time. We have more demand than we can supply. So it looks also very good from that front. So what are we missing? Well, pretty much there is another test that is required, not between us and the government or CFE or Senace, but it's just a test which is very important for us to accept the plan from our EPC suppliers, and that is basically a 5-day operation in which the plant has to meet not only the capacity but also certain efficiencies that have been pre-agreed. So that is another test that will be, again, this is not necessary to start commercial operations, but this is necessary to close the transaction. So that will be another important test that we have to conduct in the next days. We would hope that before the end of the month, all of these tests will be concluded in a satisfactory way. So again, we're closed, and then it's going to be a matter of some other, accounting and other negotiations, to be ready to transfer the assets, all of those issues. But in principle, I would say we're optimistic that we are close I would say hopefully within the next couple of months, we should be able to finalize now the transaction. But the key factors so far are going very well. So that takes care of the cogen sale. And now, with respect to the volume in North America, the volume in North America has been slightly lower than last year. But the most important reason is that last year we didn't have any shutdown of our PET facilities. This year we had in May and the beginning of June a 45-day shutdown of one of our largest plants, which is one of those scheduled shutdowns that we have to do for maintenance every couple of years. So that was the most important reason why volume has been a little bit lower than last year. I have to say also when you compare with last year, remember last year the market was very strong in terms of lower imports. So also I would say we have experienced perhaps higher imports this year than what we had last year. So that's also partially a reason for lower volume. I would say those two would be the most important reasons for the reduction in volume.
Pepe, if I may, so you believe that the you're down a bit in North America, but you believe the market as such was still flat to up, and you let go of a bit of share because of renewed imports and the shutdown of the plants, but not because the market is contracting. Is that correctly understood?
That is of course my assessment of the situation. Yes.
Thanks.
We don't see the market being reduced, and in fact, you know, we have seen some forecasts from different analysts that assume that the total market going forward is going to continue growing at 3%, perhaps even a little bit higher, including both virgin and recycle, okay? And part of the reason for that is also that some analysts estimate that that because of PET being 100% recyclable, PET has some opportunities to substitute some of all the other plastics in different packaging applications. So again, as of now, we believe the you know, we estimate the total demand will continue to move forward or to improve. But the key question then comes to, okay, how much of this growth in demand is going to come not from virgin material but from recycled material? And that is the number that is a little bit more difficult to pin down. Again, depending on who you talk to, you know, some people say, well, perhaps recycle will capture most of that growth, and perhaps virgin PET will grow 0%, 1%. Those are numbers that have been floating around, and I just mentioned this as something that is still very much ongoing. I think we have to do our own analysis in more detail to be able to come up with a forecast, but that is the feeling of the experts in the market, because I assume that's what you want to hear a little bit, okay? Now, in terms of circular economy, I do believe that the positive for PET is, number one, it does have significantly better or lower carbon footprint that is a competitive or the alternative materials. So PET, in that sense, from sustainability point of view, has a very big advantage. Now, on the other hand, PET is truly a very recyclable. And I think the key for the circular economy to work better is, of course, is in improving the collection rates, collection of bottles, which a lot of bottles are not recovered, particularly North America. Different story for Europe, different story for Mexico, but particularly North America, there is a very low collection rate. So collection, improving collection is going to be important. So that we can increase our offer of recycled products, and again, the other challenge that we do have is that ideally we have to supply those recycled products at prices which are similar to the virgin products. And that, you know, that can be a little challenging. So we are working in different technologies to be able to have a good position, depending on the country, depending on the situation. We are looking at, producing flake from bottles. We are looking at producing pellet from bottles as well. Pellet meaning a product that can be blended with the virgin product. And we're looking also at chemical recycling, which as opposed to producing PET, produces the feedstock of PET, DMT or PTA, and then you can polymerize again. So we're looking at different alternatives. In certain cases, one technology is better than others. So we do want to have a full portfolio of technologies, so we have the flexibility to adapt in the different regions, different countries, different locations, what is best for the customer, keeping in mind what I was telling you, that there is pressure to produce the recycled product at parity, ideally at parity with virgin. And that's the situation. But again, good news is PET is very recyclable, has very low carbon footprint, and then, of course, it's going to require a lot of work in improving collection. It's going to require a lot of work in again, reducing cost of the recycled products.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pedro.
Our next question is from Rodrigo Verduzco with GBM. Please proceed.
Hello, thank you very much for the call. I have a couple of questions. First one is also regarding volumes. It was very helpful what you said to Nicolai, but maybe a little more color if possible on the imports. Is there any new developments in the anti-dumping for the Asian countries in the PET case? And the second part of the question is regarding the cogen sale. Will we see any adjustment on the final purchase price regarding the after the CapEx made this quarter?
Okay. First, regarding anti-dumping, as you know, we are challenging the decision. We are again appealing. This is the right legal word. Mm-hmm. We are appealing the decision, and we are expecting results. I'm not sure which month, but I think I heard November this year. But we'll check that and perhaps get back to you on that. But we do. I still believe, I'm convinced that we have a very strong case. We don't understand why the ruling was against the anti-dumping. And perhaps, in a way, I don't know, to a certain way, it has to do with the first question about the volumes. As I explained, last year, imports were very scarce, were very difficult to get. So imports of PET into the U.S. were relatively low, and this year have increased significantly. I don't have right on my head the number of the running rate of imports, but I would guess it's going to be in the 700,000 ton range on a yearly basis. Okay, so that's a relatively high number, and again, last year was much lower than that. So I think the biggest impact in terms of if you want to call it losing market share has been those imports. But again, we don't want to fight those, or we could not fight those imports at this point because we didn't have the capacity because our plant was, we had a shutdown. So I assume that going forward, we will try to recover some volume. Also, I warn you, remember fourth quarter. Is seasonally low in volume. So it's not that we are expecting that the volume, the fourth quarter is going to be bigger because of that. We do have a seasonal slowdown. But I would say that's the most relevant part. We haven't experienced a big change in terms of market share, really. And it's important, and I didn't mention before, and perhaps also for Nikolai's question, remember that last year, the Apple Growth plant, originally owned by M&G, now owned by Fink, was down. So they were not, for quite some time, they were not supplying in the marketplace. Okay, and they of course, since the second half of last year, they're operational. So that is also another other capacity. Again, what I'm trying to say is perhaps last year our sales volume in North America was, higher than it should have been because of all these issues, lower imports, no shutdowns, and some of the other plants in North America being down, mostly the M&G plants. It was Apple Gold, and to a certain extent, it was Altamira as well. So all of those factors, I think, have had some impact in the volumes, but no, nothing else than that. I mean, we don't see any other really issue. And then your second question, I couldn't hear very well, but you're asking about the price adjustment in Cochin, I didn't understand why where you were coming from.
Yeah. Yes, the second question was related to the sale price of the cogen assets. We were wondering, since we saw CapEx in this quarter still going to cogen, we were wondering if the final price would move to adjust to this CapEx or if it will remain at what?
This CapEx was already considered in the negotiation. And the price will not change as a result of that. It might have a small adjustment based on the value of the contract that we signed recently, but we don't expect a significant change. Remember, most of our PPAs or power sale contracts are cost plus. So, I mean, they don't change based on changes in power rates in Mexico. If anything, and this explains perhaps the very high demand for power sales, has to do with as rates in Mexico have increased, our offering has become more competitive. So that's why we have exceeded our expectation of the 90% volume, contracted volume. Remember last year, beginning of the year, we had the opposite. We had a very hard time selling because the rates went, at a very low level, which, of course, was not sustainable, as we saw later. But, we're not expecting any change, any adjustment in the price.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Alejandro Chavales with Actinver. Please proceed.
Hi, thanks for taking my call and congratulations on the results. One question. Could we have an estimate on volumes of the Brazilian operation for the second quarter of 2019? And just to understand, my second question would be how much of the quarterly CapEx figure was destined to the cogen asset? Was it substantially everything, or do you have a breakdown of that?
So maybe just to clarify the question, you're asking about how much did we invest in cogen? That was the second question. The first one was related to volume. But if you could just repeat it a little bit better.
Yeah, the first one is if we could have a volume from the Brazilian operation in the quarter, and the second one was CapEx on cogeneration assets in the second quarter as well.
Okay, thank you.
So regarding Brazilian volume, As we mentioned during the report, volume is up quarter on quarter, and in fact, we posted some of our best production results under possession of the asset. The growth of the Brazilian volume quarter on quarter was 7%. So we continue to grow.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Now, in terms of the CapEx for cogeneration, everything has been according to the plan. Remember, we have an EPC contract. So we didn't have like a sort of fixed price or fixed cost for this asset.
So we have CapEx in the quarter for $38 million, and the majority of the, of that those proceeds were either to maintenance or to the cogen, finishing the cogen operation.
But all of the CapEx have been according to the original numbers.
Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot.
Our next question is from Luis Carvalho with UBS. Please proceed.
Hello, morning, gentlemen. I basically have three questions here. The first one is on considering the polyester business and the Brazil operations. I mean, you have been operating this plant for quite a year now. Could you give us a update on the operations and what's the status in terms of expectation, in terms of sustainable EBITDA generation and also utilization rate? So that's the first one. The second one is about capital allocation. I mean, Corpus Christi is for sure the main project today in terms of capacity increase. But in the past years, you acquired CTEP Swap, recently the purchase of perpetual recycling solution. So I just would like to understand now that you have, I mean, you already announced it somehow, a dividends after the receivables from the cogeneration sales. How should we expect you to the capital allocation looking forward in terms of, you know, dividend payment slash potential acquisitions? And the last one is just a quick update on the Corpus Christi. In the previous call, you mentioned an agreement with the construction manager, there was expectation to have the total cost of PT facility in the third quarter and the PTA in the fourth quarter. Do you have an update on the timeline and the potential timing for the ramp-up of Corpus Christi? That would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, let me start with Corpus Christi. Look, we are, as we mentioned last quarter, we are expecting the information from this engineering management company by, let's say, end of August, beginning of September. We should have all these numbers, at least for the PET. And then, as we mentioned, fourth quarter will be for PTA. I think before we have those numbers, we don't want to comment on the cost or timing of those projects. Just be a little patient. We are almost there. I think very soon we'll have those numbers. And as you know, you have these numbers, and then you have to do some negotiation and everything. But we will have more information relatively soon. And I would not like to share that without having those numbers being official. And remember also, we are having a joint venture there, so we are not at liberty of disclosing the numbers without previously having all the partners agreed to make those public. So that's the regarding the corpus. But we are basically, as we mentioned on time and in terms of the third quarter PT, fourth quarter PTA, I can confirm that.
Okay.
In terms of capital allocation, yeah, for sure. You know, going forward, the most important investment is Corpus Christi. That's very clearly the situation. And after cogeneration sale, I do believe that we're going to have a relatively more flexible balance sheet that will allow us to look at new M&A opportunities. And I would say probably we will we will, I mean, have to wait and see. We are looking at many different projects, and at this point in time, I think we have not made the capital allocation that you are requesting. But we are looking at projects to improve our facilities. We are looking at projects of vertical integration. We are looking at projects of sustainability. But again, for the time being, the Corpus Christi is the most relevant. And in terms of the Brazil operation, I think the Brazil operation is proceeding as expected. I think the main change has been that we've reached the EBITDA, the expected EBITDA sooner than expected in when we made the acquisition. The plant, as Alejandro mentioned, is operating very well, particularly PTA is running at capacity. We have had, as we mentioned last call, a lot of issues due to bad loads in maintenance. We have gradually been making improvements, and the plant is operating in a more reliable over the last 3 or 4 months. So we are relatively happy with that. And we, as I say, we're operating PTA capacity. PET, for the time being, I would say we're probably operating at quite low capacity market limitations. But the plants are operating well, and the cost is better, and efficiency, first grade yields also improve a lot. So we are, again, I think results for Brazil have been better than what we originally considered in our investment proposal.
Okay. And if you allow me to make the last one, I mean, you have a guidance of something close in terms of CapEx for this year, $300 million, right? And so far into the mid of the year, you said something close to one-third of it, right? I mean, 30%. So, is there any potential review in the number downwards, or I mean, how should we think in terms of CapEx for many, remaining of the year?
Look, I think basically our CapEx are going to be below the guidance a little bit. Okay? And perhaps the most important factor for that is the delay in Corpus, in the start of the construction of the Corpus project.
Okay, clear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question is from Jose Vasquez with BBM. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My question relates to the paraxylene prices. You said that at the beginning of June, they started to stabilize. Do you see a small recovery in the second half that would benefit the prices on the polyester chain? And I have a second question. The second one is related to just that one for the time being.
Okay. Look, forecasting PX prices is very difficult. And although we put a lot of effort, time, trying to do that because it's very relevant for us, the truth is our track record is not very good. And I will explain to you why it's so difficult. On the one hand, what are the factors that influence the PX price? Number one is prices of crude oil. So, and that's perhaps the most important one normally. Normally, that's the most important component of the PX price, which is the crude price. And then that's number one. Number two is NAFTA price. NAFTA price is normally related to crude prices. So normally NAFTA would be crude price plus $70 per ton or $80 per ton, normally. But it's very volatile, the NAFTA price. And the NAFTA price changes seasonally and changes depending on prices of other alternatives like LPG and other products. As I mentioned, normally the NAFTA price would be a crude price plus $70. And right now this year, just to give you an example, and this is part of the reason we have missed the prices, this year the average has been $28 or $29. So NAFTA has been $29 higher than crude prices, when normally it's 70. So this has been a factor that has been hurting a little bit our forecast. That's why PX, we were not forecasting it to go that low. So at the time being, it's 29, and crude price is what it is. I let you make your own judgment, you know, if you believe it's going to go up or down. But then NAFTA price is 28, 29. The average over the last 2-3 years has been 70. So my guess is that, if anything, NAFTA prices or NAFTA margin relative to crude oil is more likely to go up than down. And the other comment I will make, normally in the winter time, NAFTA prices normally are, or NAFTA margins over crude are a little bit better, because the LPG, which is a product that NAFTA competes against for the crackers, is higher because of energy, because of the winter heating season. So again, I would try to say, I think NAFTA margins should go up in the remaining of the year, or, you know, with all the uncertainty that is related to that. And then, let me now explain the most interesting part, and the one where we really missed this year, which is paraxylene margins to NAFTA. Traditionally, the paraxylene margin to NAFTA is around $400 per ton. Let's say the normal range would be $350 to $400. Okay? Last year, in September, the paraxylene margin to NAFTA was above $600 and remained very high for quite some time. And all of a sudden, you know, this normalized during, last part of the year and then the first part of the year. But recently, like April or something like that, then we saw another very big decrease as a result of some paraxylene plants in China starting up. And then the margin of NAFTA, of paraxylene to NAFTA, reached like $300 at a point in time. Okay? Versus, like, again, I told you, $350, $450 will be like the normal. It went below $300 at some point in time this year. And right now, I think it's like today, specifically today, is at $339. So, again, those are the important factors. So I would assume that paraxylene to NAFTA is going to remain on the low side. So perhaps not that much of an upside there. I think the biggest upside might come from NAFTA to crude oil. But for sure, what I can tell you is that it's difficult for us to see that it's going to go lower. We see more upside than downside after a very long...
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And my second question is a quick one. Are you looking to expand your recycling capacity going forward in, what you'd say, U.S., Mexico, or other geographies?
Yes. I think our customers are asking us to do that, you know, because, I mean, that's a polite way of putting it. They're putting a lot of pressure on us to do that. That's what's happening. So yes, we're looking at different alternatives to satisfy their requirements.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, everyone.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press star one at this time for any questions. Our next question is from Andres Cardona with Citigroup. Please proceed.
Good morning, everyone. Most of my questions have been done already. Just one from my side. Is there any update about the MAG restructuration process? Thank you.
Well, the process is underway. I think I'm not aware of anything being out of track. I think everything is proceeding according to schedule. Remember, we told you last time that this is unfortunately a very long process, and we believe that we're going to have perhaps it's going to take until perhaps the fourth quarter or beginning of next year for this bankruptcy to be you know, finalized, or for the company to be out of bankruptcy. So we still believe it's some 6 months ahead of us for the process to be finalized.
Thank you.
As there are no more questions in the queue, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Elizondo for any additional or closing remarks.
I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call. Please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining us.